Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Fremantle Press podcast. I'm here with Emma Young, who is one of just three authors shortlisted for the Fogarty Literary Award. She's in the running for a $20,000 cash prize plus a publishing contract with Fremantle Press. Emma is an award-winning digital journalist for Nine's WA Today, specialising in science and environment, urban planning and development, and social affairs. Her six WA Media Awards include the 2018 Matt Price Award for Best Commentary, and she's also a book review blogger. As an emerging writer of fiction, Emma was selected for the Catherine Susanna Pritchard Writers' Centre First Edition Retreat in 2018 and for the inaugural Four Centres Emerging Writers Program for 2018 to 2019. Welcome to the podcast, Emma.
Thanks.
Your manuscript is called The Last Bookstore. What's it all about?
So this is a novel. It's about Kate and her shop, Bookface. Bookface is the last bookstore remaining in what's become a very sleek and very modern Perth. So there are luxury brands with their eye on her spot. It's a very upmarket street. And as her profits are dropping, she's starting to question not only how can her business keep going, but how she can keep going if she loses it. She has a massive rent increase. She ends up with her back against the wall, but she's got a bit of a motley crew of friends and clients who love her and they love the shop and they're not going to let it go down without a fight.
It's a subject that's very close to everyone in the book trade's heart and my own included. Why write it?
Well, I'd worked in bookshops for several years through uni and beyond, and I always thought you could make a book out of the weird things customers say in shops. Particularly bookshops, because there's something about bookshops that just bring out the crazy in people. But I never really got around to that. And then one day after I quit bookshops and became a journalist, I read this story in the Monthly about a woman who worked for a library delivery service for people too frail to go out. And it was all about the bond that she developed with these people and what she learned about them through their reading habits. And I just loved that idea so much as somebody who's always bonded with people over talking about books. And then I guess my experience as a journalist also, and I cover a lot of things about small businesses and all of the challenges that they face and all of the ways that Perth as a city is changing. And I guess all of that eventually coalesced throughout the writing of it.
And how long did it actually take you to do the writing of it? Like, was it a long process, a short process?
Pretty long. I turned 30 in early 2016, late 2015. And then I started work on it in early 2016 because there was something about 10:30 that made me panic and go, oh my God, I have to start writing before it's like too late, which sounds hilarious now that I say it. But I had this, you know, those milestone birthdays, they bring out the panic in you. So I started working on it then and it took 12 months to draft. The longest break I've had from it in the past 3 years has been a 6 month break while I drafted something else. But pretty much it's been continuously writing, editing, restructuring, rewriting ever since. I've actually lost count of how many times I've rewritten this book. I keep giving it to people who say they want to read it and then they tell me that they're going to get around to it and I go, oh no, you can't have that one. It's been rewritten since then. Here, have a fresh one. So yeah, long time.
So given that it's taken so many drafts and such a long time, what does it mean to you to find yourself on the shortlist for the 2019 Fogarty Literary Award?
It's amazing. It just means all this work and worry and uncertainty hasn't been for something without value to anyone except me. And I have learned so much and had moments of real joy and power and satisfaction while I've been writing it. So I don't mean to suggest that writing is not worth it just for its own sake, but all the same, you know, you write to connect with people and it's not just to have joyful private moments. So, you know, as I've been pouring all these hours into it, I've been so afraid that nobody else could ever enjoy reading this. So it's so amazing to learn that somebody did enjoy reading it and it does have something that connects with people. So it just means the world to have this reassurance that it's worth keeping working on it no matter what happens.
And now the time has come for you to share some work with us, share it with the world. When you're ready, go ahead and read us an extract from The Last Bookstore.
Okay. Kate arrived at Max's the following morning, feeling somewhat sleep-deprived. as well as guilty for again getting up and fleeing before James awoke. She was starting to wonder whether the lazy Sunday routine they'd fallen into, of breakfasts out or nursing their hangovers with takeaways and TV binges, was in the past before she'd really had a chance to appreciate it. The rest of Perth remained sleepy. She street parked easily at Max's, where a rich, buttery aroma immediately distracted her from her self-pity. He'd evidently taken Kate at her word regarding lunch. His tiny kitchen was oven-warmed, and an open, savoury tart stood bubbling and oozing on the table, a bowl of salad leaves beside it. "Ooh, what's this?" she said by way of greeting, and bent to inhale. "Onion and blue cheese," Max said in a self-satisfied sort of voice. "Get away from it. It's got to cool and set." He looked at her critically. "You look tired. I told you not to come if it was too much." "And miss this? Yeah, right. Also, I wanted to see what you thought of the last lot, and I've got some good new stuff for you." "Let's have it then," Max said. "You were right about LA Confidential. A bloody ripper."
"Wasn't it?" Kate said excitedly. "Didn't I tell you the movie was different?"
"A pale shadow," Max agreed. "Positively anemic. Where's my new strike then?"
"Not out yet."
"Still,
give her a chance,"
Kate said, giggling.
"It's not been a year."
"Max, is that an iPad?" Max's dislike of technology had always remained firm. She couldn't quite believe the shiny tablet charging on a side table, even though she saw it. "I'm on Facebook now," he said, fixing her with a stony stare that dared her to laugh. "My daughter got it for me. Said I needed to rejoin the world. As if this is the world." He gestured at the gadget, then the window. "That's the world out there, and I'm stuck inside on a bung knee."
"It's not great walking weather anyway, Max," Kate said, glancing out the window at the leafless plane trees and sullen, spattering rain. "Want me to show you how to like the Bookface page?"
"Done," he said smugly. "I've been talking on there with your other hopeless cases. That June woman's speedy on the keyboard. No appreciation for crime, though."
"Max," Kate said in delight. "Wonders would never cease. Show me your skills."
"I'm not playing on the bloody computer when I've got a guest. That's what your generation does. Not to mention the grandkids. You'd think the urge was now implanted at birth. All right, that tart should be ready." The tart was gooey and rib-sticking. Max delivered his verdicts on the Stephen King's and the Joe Hill and on Sophie Hannah's Resurrection of Poirot. Not the same, but at least a decent plot. After they pushed away their crummy plates, Max pored over his new haul. More Hannah, more Hill, a Val McDermott police procedural, and a Janet Ivanovich thriller about the bounty hunter Stephanie Plum. Max claimed the series was too fluffy and girly to be a favourite, but Kate knew he secretly couldn't get enough of them and would probably start that one first.
"Let me know when you're done with that lot and I'll come back," Kate said.
"You could even message me online now you've joined us in the 21st century." This was blatant hypocrisy on her part, given she used social media strictly on sufferance, at Seb's insistence. "All right. Thanks for coming and making an old man's morning on your day off. You're a good girl." Kate normally responded to his goodbyes with a joke along the lines of it all being for his cooking, but was touched by his words today. They were as close as he'd ever got to admitting loneliness.
"It's no worries, Max. I love coming to see you."
She kissed his cheek.
"Catch you soon."
"Okay. Don't work too hard." Her heavy heart suddenly lightened at the idea that she had brightened his day. And it had been easy, really. It was simply a matter of turning up with a bag full of books that she knew would delight him, to share food and conversation that was all reassuringly routine and satisfying. Max, at least, did not change.
"Apart from the Facebook, that was definitely an evolution."
She grinned as she reached the car. Maybe she could take inspiration from the knowledge that Max had mastered this new and utterly unfamiliar skill. If Max, one of the oldest and grumpiest people she knew, could adapt to a changing world, then maybe, just maybe, so could she.
That was Emma Young reading from her manuscript, The Last Bookstore. Emma is shortlisted for the Fogarty Literary Award and is in the running to win $20,000 and a publishing contract with Fremantle Press. If you'd like to find out if she wins, join us on Wednesday the 22nd of May. We'll be at the ECU Spiegel tent awaiting the winner's announcement. Tickets are free and available from fremantlepress.com.au.